Hear now this reading from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly, as I must speak. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Grandson Noah, age 17, has been a budding artist for several years and has shown an active interest in medieval and Renaissance armor. He's learned the names of the weapons, the eras in which they were used, the geographic connections, etc. I asked him about a recent drawing of his and said that the Bible speaks about armor. His interest instantly piqued. He said, "Go on." I continued, saying that we are admonished by Paul in the New Testament to be wary of our enemy, the devil, referencing 1 Peter 5:8. "Discipline yourselves," he says. "Keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around, seeking whom he may devour." This verse serves as a reminder to remain vigilant and steadfast, recognizing our enemy and being aware of the spiritual battles we face. Satan seeks to undermine our faith and lead us astray. Therefore, let us stay rooted in our convictions and resist the temptations that come our way. So I took each part of this passage in Galatians 6, which we've read today, and looked for contemporary parallels to each one, helping to explain them to him. I was a professor for a long time and the son of teachers, so I love the Socratic method, leading the student by asking questions. And I asked him, "Why do you think Paul used a helmet as the image for salvation?" He replied, "Well, it covers your head." He thought for a moment, And then he asked, knowledge? I said excitedly, yes. In John 5:13, it says, these things have I written unto you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the assurance of our salvation. We know. We have that knowledge, that confidence. I then said, well, what do you think about the breastplate of righteousness? Why a breastplate? He quickly answered, it covers your heart. Yes, I said, impressed at how he was really understanding these analogies from Paul. Keeping our hearts pure, keeping them protected. Psalm 139 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me or try me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Oh, we were on a roll now. What about the shield of faith? I said. Well, that's defensive, he responded, to counter the attacks, the blows. Super. The verse at the end of the passage says, with which you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the evil one. What about the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God? Well, he said, that can be an offensive and a defensive weapon. Perfect, I said. We can even counterattack. Jesus used Scripture to battle Satan during the temptation in the wilderness in John 4. As the devil came at him with misapplied and misinterpreted Bible references, Jesus, the author of the book, simply came back with different verses showing the true intent of God's heart. You see, anybody can take Scripture out of context. You don't need a seminary degree to do that. It probably helps if you don't have a solid grounding in the Bible. Then you can proof text anything, make any argument you want, or even play drop the needle. Oh, wow, or pin the tail on the donkey with your finger, just letting it fall anywhere and saying, okay, Lord, I want you to lead me today, and here's how we're going to do it. As if we're in charge, right? Not God. I'm going to close my eyes, Lord, and I'm going to turn the pages of the Bible over, and wherever my finger lands, that's what I'll do. Just show me, Lord. And then we flip some pages over, and we accidentally land on Matthew 27:5. Then he went away and hanged himself. Oh, dear. And then in a panic, we flip over to Luke 10:37, and we read of Jesus saying, go and do likewise. Ah, ridiculous. The Bible isn't our horoscope or a Ouija board. Goodness, it's not like the compass used in Pirates of the Caribbean telling Captain Jack which direction to take. It is a moral compass for our lives. The psalmist declares that it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Lead us, Lord. Lead us in thy righteousness. Make thy way plain before our face. Amen. And we're to fasten the belt of truth around our waist. Kind of like Batman's utility belt. Everything hangs on that truth. Our other weapons are dependent on that. Yeah, hopefully there's not too much hanging on that belt. I heard one person say after getting off the scale in the morning, whew, the armor of God is really getting heavy lately. But then I said, and we are to have our shoes laced up in preparation for the gospel of peace. What do you think about that? I don't know, he said. I added, there's a verse in Romans that says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Maybe our shoes help us carry that message out to be a people on mission for God, or as we are the hands, feet, and heart of Jesus Christ, borrowing from our vision statement here at St. Stephen. He nodded and kept thinking. Finally, he said, I think I've got it, Papa. I said, okay, go. He said, wherever we go, we leave our footprints. Ah, I said, out of the mouths of babes, right? I get it. They'll know us after we're gone by our footprints, the impression we leave behind, our story, our interactions, our presentation of the gospel, our good works. It's all there. Our reputation, how they know us and remember us. This is our testimony, our witness, preaching the gospel of peace. I've referred several times to our enemy, capital E, the devil. He's called the adversary, the destroyer, leader of the forces of wickedness, of darkness, the evil one. In Hebrew, he's called Hasatan, the accuser, the one who wants to point blame at us before God. Guilty, there he goes, he's sinned again. God, you should just banish him to hell because he's so wicked. Oh, the enemy would like that. But how does God see our sin? Through a holy lens. And the lens is colored by the blood of Christ, our Savior. The psalmist puts it beautifully. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as wool. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. The Lord is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I learned something that day, or I was reminded of something. Stay aware. Be ready, for the Lord can use anything and anyone to get his message across to us. Paul ends this section with an invisible weapon. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication, to that end. Keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints, lifting them up before the Lord. Pray also for me, Paul asks, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. We must be consistent in lifting up in prayer those who speak, that they in turn may be faithful in preaching the word of truth, praying for each other as we live out this Christian faith, that our walk, our life would be pleasing unto God. Remember the prayerful words of that hymn, grant us wisdom, grant us courage, that we fail not man nor thee. Finding that truth and holding on to it, living it, can be difficult individually, and especially so on a national or worldwide scale. Our enemy is called the father of lies, and there are many who unfortunately fall for those lies. They are deceived. Some mean well, and others are just, well, mean. They go to battle every day for their cause. They take wild swings like a drunk in a bar, throwing haymakers, and wherever their blows land, so be it. Collateral damage? That's not their concern. We hear verses being like, vengeance is mine, they quote, saith the Lord, I will repay, and then in the next breath, okay, thanks, Lord, I'll take it from here. Wait, what? They've been watching too many Dirty Harry movies, or pick your favorite star, Charles Bronson being unjustly picked on. Ooh, time to start swinging. Mr. Miyagi being ridiculed, wax on, wax off. Jean-Claude Van Damme's accent being made fun of, one kick, boom, they're toast. Some of the reports we hear coming out of Ukraine and the Middle East can sicken us. But how do we retaliate? How far do we go? Do we become just like those who are against us? Do we burn down entire neighborhoods in the hope that somewhere within the enemy is hiding and maybe, just maybe, we'll be able to kill them before they kill us? Can we feel justified in doing that? Whew. Is there a monitor that buzzes or dings, and then we'll know when it's too much? Our weapons and the weapons we provide our friends are beyond belief. They're absolutely amazing. And I'm not just talking about big bombs, but especially those that can pinpoint targets miles away to do precision strikes, to take out the enemy without so much obliteration of the landscape. Is that really our purpose? What about genocide on a national scale? Kill all the Muslims, we may hear. Quite an evangelistic campaign. Kill them all and let God sort it out. Where's the Prince of Peace in all that? Make disciples of all nations. How hard do we work to maintain our status as a world power? Do our soldiers and allies sometimes look at each other and ask, hey, we're still the good guys, right? Time for a reality check, to inspect the color of our Stetson. Has that white hat become a little bit darker over time? God help us. Help us to remember who our real enemy is. Finally, Paul concludes from his Roman prison cell around 62 AD, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. King Saul wanted to put his armor on little David going out to face Goliath, but it wasn't right. It was overkill, ridiculous. What did he need? He depended on God with his bag of a few stones and a sling, prayerfully, one shot and done. David won, the children of Israel won, and God wins. We pray, set our feet on lofty places. Gird our lives that they may be armored with all Christ-like graces in the fight to set men free. Amen. Let us pray. God, we thank you for illumining our hearts and minds from your word, from the gifts you have given to us through blessed and anointed hymn writers, poets, preachers, so many others. Would we but hear, Lord, to listen to your command, not to take it upon ourselves, but to follow after your way, to stand up for Jesus every day, to be soldiers of the cross, to listen and follow your commands. God, may we be peacemakers in this world, following the Prince of Peace himself, with that blessed peace that passes all understanding. Guide us, O thou great Jehovah. We praise you and we thank you and we pray, trusting and believing in your power and in your holy name. Amen. May God bless you as you answer his call. A soldier ready to follow the command of the Lord. Go in peace. Thanks be to God. Amen.